Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started a week ago Monday talking about You've Already Got It. This is the title of a teaching I have. I have it in CD form. I also have a DVD of this. I have a book on You've Already Got It, and this is brand new. We've got this book entitled You've Already Got It Study Guide, and this has a CD-ROM on the inside that allows you to print out the questions and pass them out to people. It's specifically made to disciple other people with it, and I really encourage you to get these materials. Also, the last few days, I've been teaching on grace and faith, which is a part of this teaching on You've Already Got It. I've got this teaching that I call grace and faith summarized as a part of this teaching on You've Already Got It. But I thought I'd go ahead, and if you desire to do so, I've got a hard copy of that book that goes into more detail, and I've also got a study guide on living in the balance of grace and faith. And this is what I've been talking about the last few days, and so we will make that additional offer. I know that this is a lot of material, but really it's one of the major things that God has shown me. I think that this is a starting place. Instead of thinking that God can do all of these things, but then you just, you know, struggle and you strive and you wonder, is God going to do this? It changes everything when you begin to understand that God has already provided everything for you by grace. And all faith is, it doesn't make God do something. It just reaches out and appropriates what He has already provided. That's what I've been talking about for the last few days, and I've been taking this primarily from Ephesians 2:8 that says, by grace you're saved through faith. So you aren't saved by grace alone. You aren't saved by faith alone. You are saved by grace. That's what God does for you, independent of you. And faith is how you receive it. You just reach out and take it. You know, an illustration of this, I got a real lesson on this when I was only 8 years old. And I was in a vacation Bible school in our Baptist church. And they had about 600 kids in this vacation Bible school. They marched us in and sat us in the auditorium according to our classes. And so the class that I was in, we were way at the very back of the auditorium. Normally, I was on the front row. I mean, my family was like a group of skunks that went to church. We had our own pew. I mean, we had this place that it was like ours. We always sat there. And it was right on the front. But this time they put us in the back. And this man was trying to illustrate how salvation was. And he took out a dollar bill. This was back when I was 8 years old, and dollar bill was a big deal to kids back then. And he held this dollar bill up like this. And he said, I'll give this dollar bill to the first kid that comes up here and takes it. And instantly there was just like, you know, a group of kids, 20 or 30 kids just around him all jumping and yelling, I want it, I want it. And I thought to myself, of all times to be sitting at the back of the church, man, I missed an opportunity. And this guy just ignored him. He kept his arm up in the air like this, and he just acted like there wasn't any kids around him. And he says, I'll give this dollar bill to the first kid that comes up here and takes it. And everybody was wondering, what's he doing? Every person up here wants it. And he repeated it like a third or a fourth time. I'll give this dollar bill to the first kid that comes up here and takes it. And I mean, it hit my lightning fast mind what this guy was doing. And I ran down the aisle, pushed my way through all those other kids. He had his hand up in the air, and I grabbed his arm like this and climbed up his side and just grabbed that dollar bill out of his hand. And he turned around and he says, that's the first kid that came up here and took it. He said, every one of you wanted it, but you wouldn't take it. And he said, this is the way salvation is. God is offering it as a free gift. You don't have to do anything to be worthy or earn it, but you do have to reach out and take it. It didn't automatic. And see, this illustrates what I've been trying to say, that God by grace provided salvation for us, which includes the forgiveness of our sins, but it also includes healing. It includes deliverance. It includes joy and peace and everything that Jesus did for us. All of that came by grace. And it says that all of this was done through Jesus nearly 2,000 years ago. Jesus isn't forgiving people's sins today. He's not healing people's bodies today. He's not prospering us financially. He's not giving you joy and peace today. And some of you either are panicking like, oh, no, don't tell me that that's true because I need all of those things. Or somebody else says, oh, yes, he is because I've got these things. But the truth is, people receive their healing. They reach out and take it. They reach out and take salvation. They reach out and take joy and peace. When you keep your mind stayed upon the Lord, it causes you to be in perfect peace. But God has already done His part. He's already provided everything that we will ever need through Jesus. He's not in the process of dying today. The Scripture says that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. That happened 2,000 years ago in Herod's judgment hall. If a person needs to be healed today, if you are watching this program, Jesus is not going to get off of the throne and take a whipping to produce healing for you. He already did it 2,000 years ago, before you ever existed, before you ever had the need. God had already made the supply for your need. He's already provided your healing. He's already commanded the blessing upon you financially in your storehouses and in everything that you set your hand unto. Deuteronomy chapter 28 talks about that. Everything that you will ever need emotionally in any way, it's already been provided. That's grace. But does that mean that you're automatically going to experience it? No, because you have to reach out and take it, and that's faith. And in order to be able to accept and receive what God has given you, He's given it to you in your born-again spirit, you have to renew your mind. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You get transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you prove, you make manifest to the physical senses what are the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Well, that's powerful. So see, Jesus has already provided all of this. And what this did for me, I used to struggle to try and get God to heal me. And then I realized He's already done it, and it's already mine. So instead of begging, pleading, fighting, trying to do something that puts all of the burden upon me, I just started resting and thanking God. Thank you, Father, that by Your stripes I was healed. If I was, then I am healed. Thank You that this pain or this whatever I'm dealing with is leaving me. Thank You that it's mine. And then I'll take the Scriptures that He's revealed to me, like Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so I'll use the power of my words and I'll speak to that sickness and rebuke it and command it to get out of my body. And I'll use the power of my tongue to release life. And I'll go to speaking that, praise God, I am healthy. My body is recovering. Now see, all of those things aren't making God do anything. It's just understanding from the Word how God operates. He's established this whole universe on words. He created the worlds by His words. He spoke everything into existence. Words are the parent force, and everything in this natural world responds to words. And so I understand this, and I'm not trying to get God to do something. I'm just using God's faith. I'm doing things the way God does. And so I begin to start saying to my body that everything's okay. You know, when it comes to my needs being supplied, the Lord has already commanded a blessing upon me. He's already prospered me. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "But you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might be made rich." Notice it says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus." This is what Jesus did for us, independent of us. It's not based on you being a good person. It's not based on how holy you are, how much you read the Scriptures. God, by grace, sent His Son Jesus, and Jesus became poor and suffered poverty so that you might be rich. And some people just don't believe that this applies to what it obviously says. They think that this is talking about spiritually, emotionally rich. I think it includes that. But if you read the context, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, every verse in those two chapters is talking about money. And it's very obvious. If you aren't going to be prejudiced, religious, if you just take the word at face value, it is talking about money. Jesus died to produce prosperity in your life. And so if you are born again, He's already commanded this blessing upon you. It's already there. You have the ability to get wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the power to get wealth." God doesn't give you money directly, but He has blessed you with a power, an ability to get wealth. Now, does that mean that it's automatically going to operate? No, but by grace, God has already commanded this upon every person watching this program. If you've been born again, you have an anointing, a power on the inside to be able to prosper financially. But does it work automatically? No, you have to reach out and by faith appropriate it. And faith is cooperating with what God says. It's believing the Word of God. In my life, when Jamie and I first got started in ministry, I made a serious mistake. And that was that I thought that if I was called into the ministry, that I was sinning against God if I worked a secular job. I had to get my living 100% from the ministry. Now, that's not correct. Paul talked about making tents, but I just honestly didn't know this. I was sincere, but I was sincerely wrong. Because of this, Jamie and I suffered and struggled financially for a long period of time, even though God had already blessed me with this ability to get wealth. It was a part of my atonement. Jesus became poor so that I, through His poverty, might be made rich, 2 Corinthians 8:9. He had blessed me with this, but I wasn't cooperating with God. There are other scriptures, like in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, I had always worked hard my whole life. It wasn't that I was lazy or didn't want to work. I thought that I had to be spending full time in the ministry or I'd be sinning against God. And so I wouldn't work. People would even offer me jobs. They'd say, would you paint my house? I'll pay you so much. I said, no, I'm full time in the ministry. And because of it, Jamie and I suffered. And see, God's grace had provided all of these things for me, but I was not in agreement with the Word. I wasn't doing what the Word said. And it's a long story. It took me years to figure this out, but eventually I realized that it was proportional. God was going to supply my needs proportional to how much I ministered the Word. When I ministered full-time, I could expect to live full-time. But as long as I was still part-time in the ministry and I was just doing like a Bible study a week, I couldn't expect to live full-time of the ministry. And so the Lord finally got this through to me, and I started working part-time. And then eventually when the ministry got so full that I would have had to literally turn down opportunities to minister and take advantage of the opportunities God gave me, well, then since that time, I've lived full-time of it. But I'm using this as an example that, see, I had the blessing of God on my life, but I wasn't believing it. I wasn't cooperating with it. I wasn't doing what the Word of God said to do. So when I finally started working part-time job and then when I got full-time in the ministry, did that make God respond to me? No, the blessing was there all along, but I was doing things that short-circuited that power, that didn't let it come to pass. And so I had to start doing certain things in order to see the blessing of God manifest. But did my actions make God respond to me? No, my actions were a response to what God said in His Word. I was just cooperating and agreeing with Him. And now I see our needs supplied supernaturally. God has been good to me. And you know what? I am seeing a supernatural manifestation of God's blessing in my life. But it's not God that all of a sudden showed up. This blessing was on me my whole time, but I wasn't cooperating. I was doing things that stopped it. I was hindering God's blessing in my life. And so I had to get into the Word. I had to renew my mind and learn these things. And then what God placed on the inside of me when I was first born again has now begun to manifest. And you know, it takes us over $2 million a month just to pay our bills. And I give things away. You know what? In the natural, this is an absolute miracle. It's a miracle what God is doing. Plus, not only do we need $2 million a month just to pay our bills at this time, but I'm in the process of building some buildings and expanding our Charis Bible College so that we can accommodate up to 3,000 students at our home center. And you know what? That's going to cost millions and millions of dollars. And I'm believing to get it all done debt-free. How can you do this? I have an anointing from God. Jesus became poor so that he could supply my need. And the Lord knew that I was going to be doing all of these things. I think that they were predetermined by God from the beginning of creation. And so, you know what? I just believe I don't have the pressure on me that I used to have. I know that God is the one that ordained this. God is the one that put it on my heart to start a Bible school. That was the last thing on my mind. I'd even told people before, I'll never have a Bible school. I didn't want one because I'd seen people who graduated from Bible schools and they went out and in the name of whatever college or ministry, they just were, sowing strife and doing things that, man, I didn't want that. But then the Lord spoke to me supernaturally, told me how to do a different type of Bible school where it, of course, teaches the knowledge of the Word of God and this revelation of grace that God has given me, but also really practical stuff. And when the Lord showed this to me, it was God's idea. It wasn't my idea. And all of these things that are happening, we now have around 2,000 people that are in our Charis Bible College system. Talking about our home base here in Colorado and then our correspondence school, our online schools, and our extension schools and in-church schools all over the world. And so we have about 2,000 people, and the thing is growing. And we have to be able to accommodate all the people that want to come. I didn't start this. God did. And so you know what? Instead of me staying up at night and worrying about how am I going to pay for this, I look at this teaching that I'm sharing with you about I've already got it. God has already blessed me so that whatever it is He tells me to do, it's His responsibility to provide for it. Now, I have a part to play, and as the Lord speaks to me, I'll respond and do whatever He tells me, but the burden is upon the Lord. I don't know if you can really understand what I'm saying. It's easier to say these things than it is to live it. But I tell you, this has taken a huge amount of pressure off of me. I mean, just huge. At one time in the ministry, I used to feel the burden of trying to make everything work. And I tell you, it was tough. I remember I had a dream one night, and I'm one of these, what they call a lucid dreamer. And I mean, when I dream, it's real. Like last night, I was thinking about some things, and it's hard to tell whether I was awake or asleep. I don't know if I ever went to sleep. I guess I did because I feel rested, but my dreams, I was thinking about these things. I was reading a book, and I was thinking about all the things I was reading in this book all night long. And anyway, many years ago, this has been like 30-something years ago, I was facing a real financial bind in the ministry. My board told me we were going to have to shut down. And I remember I had this dream where I just decided to quit the ministry and go join the Air Force and work for them and take the money and pay off my bills. And like I said, my dreams are so real, it's hard sometimes to tell whether, is this real or was it a dream? And I remember I woke up and I was laying in bed thinking, oh, thank you, Jesus. It was just a dream. I didn't really join the Air Force. And Jamie, she realized I was awake and she leaned over and she says, you know, our finances weren't so bad that you had to go join the Air Force. I mean, just for a second, man, panic hit me like, oh, my God, it was real. And it turned out I'd been talking in my sleep, and she heard this whole thing, and so she said that just to get a rise out of me. But, I mean, I used to really obsess and do all of these things, and then I've come into this revelation that God has already commanded a blessing upon me. It's His responsibility, and it has just caused me to rest. And that I don't even remember what our needs were back then, but it was probably $5,000 or $10,000 a month. It wasn't very much. Now we have to have $2 million a month. And you know what? I sleep good. I don't ever worry about it because I've realized that God has already blessed me. It's God's responsibility. And there's still things that I need to do. But I do it in response to God, not trying to get God to do something. You know, this building that I'm in right now, this was an absolute miracle for us because we came from a 14,600 square foot building into a 110,000 square foot building. The utilities on this building alone on a monthly basis were like four or five times what my payments on the other building were. Just the utilities. not including all of the payments. Plus, we had to finish the thing out, $3.2 million. But you know, by that time, when we moved into here, that was in 2002 and 3 is when I was doing this process. By that time, I had learned this principle of I've already got it, that I've already got this supernatural power, that Jesus became poor so that I could have prosperity, and it was a part of my atonement, and I was resting in Him. And I knew that God was going to have me eventually share with my partners about the need here because I didn't have the money to be able to do this. And I knew that there was something I needed to do, but I didn't just want to assume and go out and start sharing this and do it in my own way and in my own strength. And so for months, I just sat on it and I prayed about it and I just thanked God. Thank you, Father, that this $3.2 million, I'm not going to take out a loan. We will do this free and clear. And I just prayed about it. And finally, the Lord showed me some things, told me, this is like 5 or 6 months later, told me what to say to our partners. And I got on television and shared it with our partners. I think I did it twice, either two or three times over a 14-month period of time. And did you know that we paid for this entire renovation of this building, $3.2 million, and I never got out of peace. I never felt like it was my responsibility. And you know why? Because of this relationship of grace and faith. Before I understood this, I would have thought that, no, I've got to do something to make God give me this money and to make this thing come to pass. But now I've understood that faith isn't what moves God. God moves by His grace just because He is a good God, not because we are good and deserve it. God moves by grace and provides everything. And all faith is just resting in what He's already done. You can't rest in it if you don't know what He's done. And this is the reason you need to get into the Bible. Not because God is going to reward you for every hour spent in the Bible and you get somehow or another an answer to prayer or some kind of a blessing because you've been seeking Him and doing this. No, God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's already been done. But this is where you find out about it. The world's not going to tell you about the goodness of God. The world's not going to tell you these things, and I hate to say this, I get no satisfaction out of it, but most churches aren't going to tell you about what God has already done. They're going to be telling you about what God could do if you weren't such a sorry thing and if you would just straighten up, and they will tie it that God moves in response to you. When you get your act together, then God will do this. So you aren't going to hear this good news even in most churches. The reason you need to be in the Word and in prayer is not so that God could bless you, but so that you could find out what He's already blessed you with. You've already got it. This has just transformed my life. I pray that you're getting this. If you can get hold of this, I guarantee you, it will revolutionize your relationship with God. It'll give you a peace. It'll give you a joy. It'll take away this performance-based mentality and all of your condemnation. It'll transform your life. You know, I've got more to share on this, but I'm going to continue on my program tomorrow. I encourage you to join me then as we continue the gospel truth. And also listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get all of these materials on You've Already Got It.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago. I had control of nothing. My arms, my legs, I had no control.
Each day I felt like I could wake up and my mom would be gone. It was really hard for me.
I began to feel helpless. The frustration of not being able to fix something when you're a fix-it guy.
Andrew put it so clearly. That's what freed me. The more I applied the Word, then the healing will come. The healing will come. Just gradually, gradually. And that was okay for me because I knew that I was healed.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Mercy Santos.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled, You've Already Got It, is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or, if you prefer, You've Already Got It is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Grace and Faith free of charge.
Let me mention once again that we not only have our CD and DVD teaching on You've Already Got It, but I've got a book, and now I've got a brand new workbook on You've Already Got It. Now, we are going to continue to offer these things as I continue this teaching for another few weeks, but the last few days I've been talking specifically about grace and faith, and this is a book on grace and faith, and I also have a workbook on this, and it covers just what I've talked about this week in much more detail than what I've gone into, and it would be a real blessing to you. So if you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you all this information. Remember that Friday will be my last day to make this special offer of the teaching on grace and faith.
On today's program, Andrew mentioned his book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the New England area next week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th. In Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th. In Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th. And in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at Caris Christian Center, Sunday, October 2nd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th, in Warwick, England, for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.